Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue, is expected to ask the Cabinet today to approve a plan that would lift restrictions on salary and variable pay for bankers in the state's bailed out financial institutions. The rescued Irish banks have been subject to a €500,000 limit on executive salaries and an 89% tax on bonuses since the financial crisis more than a decade ago. Well, while the legacy of the crash is a good enough reason for some not to ease the restrictions, others believe retention of talent has become a critical issue in the banking sector. And joining me now to discuss this is People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy and Sean Keyes, finance correspondent with The Currency. And Sean, I'll start with you. Why is it important, do you think, that we should lift the cap and pay these senior executives more money?
Well, I think it's cutting off our nose to spite our faces. Because what we are now is we're bank shareholders, right? We own about 5 billion worth of bank shares. It's about €1,000 worth for every person in the country. So that's one interest that we have in the banks. We don't want shares. We want the government to have the cash so they can go and build houses and other, you know, whatever else we need. So we should be focusing on what we can do to maximize the value of those shares, get them off our books, and go and use the money the way appropriately. And the other thing we are is, like, we're customers, and I think most people would agree that, like, the Irish banks just they don't feel very well run. The products aren't great. The apps aren't great. You can see that as they don't lend very freely to risky projects, and all of these things together, like, this is the type of problems that we have with our banking system right now. And they're not the types of problems that are being addressed by a banker's cap, pay cap. And I think a pay cap is probably making them worse.
So we want our bankers to be motivated to make big bonuses by running those banks in a way that makes them really profitable, really successful. And what they get off the back is a big fat bonus.
No, I don't. I don't think that by paying them more that, you know, they're going to, you know, burn the midnight oil and do really good, you know, hard work all night long, thinking about all the money they're going to be making. I don't think it's that at all. I think it's more just, okay, these banks, they're very big. They have a lot of employees. Say Bank of Ireland has about 120 billion of assets, to take one example. And that's, like, you know, that's a big kind of big, important organization. The people running that, like, they might make only a handful of decisions every year, but they're really consequential decisions. And my argument is that you want the very best person to make the very, very best possible decision, because the difference between the best decision and the second best decision, or a slightly less good decision, is huge when you've got a bank with 120 billion worth of assets. And, like, that's the argument for paying bank CEOs well. It's the argument for paying, you know, all of the kind of everyone who runs big organizations, or everyone who's, you know, has a very important job. It's basically that when the consequences are big, it's important that you have the best person there for the job. And that's why shareholders are the ones who want to pay them.
Okay, so what do you say to that argument, Paul Murphy, that you need the best people running these very big institutions because one wrong decision has huge consequences?
Well, we didn't used to have caps on bankers' pay. Bank executives used to be paid as much as they could be paid, millions of euros extra again in terms of bonuses. So we had the system that's being advocated for. And where did that lead us? It had a culture of banking driven by short-term profitability, the personal interest in terms of the extra bonuses people could get. And that led us over a cliff in terms of 2007, 2008, one of the biggest bank bailouts in the world, 64 billion euros, for which the public is still down 45 billion euros. So we know where that got us, and yet the government wants us to go back there at a time of, you know, cost of living crisis. Almost one in two people are saying they're somewhat struggling to pay their bills. One in five people are experiencing serious deprivation. And yet we're talking about people who, these are already in the top 1% of earners in the country. If you're on €500,000 a year, you're extremely well paid. And yet we're going to lift the cap on that and allow you to earn a million or 2 million or whatever.
And to go back to your first point, and Sean, do you have a response to that? That before the crisis, these people were paid, you know, unlimited amounts, and look where that got us.
Yeah, and I think it's a fair point, but I think that so much has changed since the crisis. And I mean, the biggest change has been around regulation. We have a really ironclad banking regulatory system now. And I mean, the Central Bank of Ireland and the ECB, they take their role very seriously. They're very well resourced, and the rules they have are very stringent. And that's reflected if you look at the banks, like the banks before the crisis, right? There was, you know, a culture of greed, bonuses flying around everywhere, and they were extremely risky, extremely fragile, and extremely profitable. And then that resulted in what it did. And now, it's if you look at banking, that just doesn't describe the banking world of today. Like the banking world today, they're not profitable. They're not making an economic profit. They're not taking very much risk, which is reflected in the sort of project they fund.
So, are you saying that we need to get back to that risky behavior and bonus culture?
No, not at all. But I'm saying that problem has been addressed by the ECB and Central Bank of Ireland. They have very strict rules. Risk is passed on to shareholders now in a way that it never was before. So it's on the shareholders' heads if the banks get out of control, whereas previously the shareholders were kind of, it was implied that the state would take over if things went badly. And secondly, I think that the idea that a pay cap is a really good tool for managing like macroprudential risk, stopping the banks from blowing up, that doesn't really make sense on the face of it. It's not something that is employed around the world. And given the fact that the shareholders are on the hook for bank losses now, like if a rogue bank manager, middle manager started to go crazy, taking on a lot of risk, it's the shareholders who would eat it. You know, it's the whole regulatory system is completely different now. It's much more strict, and a pay cap is not really the type of tool that's well designed for that job.
Okay, let's look at what Brian Hayes said from the Banking and Payments Federation, Paul Murphy. He said earlier this year that our failure to pay these bonuses and with this pay cap in place, that poses a systemic risk to the sector because the good people, are leaving.
I mean, look, this is Turkey's lobbying against Christmas. This is the people who are going to get these bonuses, their organisations, people who are going to get pay of over 500,000 saying, look, you need to pay us more than 500,000 euros, so we'll stay here, we're the best and the brightest. And like, we don't have to go back 15 years to see, you know, horrendously bad decisions made by the banks. You look at the tracker mortgage scandal, which was continuing until relatively recently, 40,000 people affected, some of whom lost their homes. They were decisions, again, driven by maximising profits to deny people's rights to be on tracker mortgages, push them onto other more expensive products. Like, that happened. And I do feel that this is part of a process of the privatisation of the banks. That's what's happening. We're going back to normality. But that normality wasn't good. The banks didn't serve the interest of people. We think we need to have a public banking system, use it as a public utility to provide loans for productive investments, to provide affordable mortgages for people, as opposed to returning to this model.
And what do pay caps achieve?
Well, I think they avoid the obscenity of saying that some people in our society are worth €1 million or €2 million a year. I'd, you know, ask anyone to prove to me that it's a more important job than a teacher or a nurse or a creche worker or whatever. So it avoids that obscenity. And I think particularly linked to the question of, you know, sky high bonuses, it avoids, or it certainly can counteract to some degree, that culture driven by short term profitability in order to maximise people's bonuses.
Now, the rules, if they change, and the rules currently at the moment, the pay caps and the ban on bonuses, they don't apply to overseas-owned banks and financial institutions that operate here. There is an anomaly there, isn't there? You know, that we have 23,000 staff across the three banks that the state has an interest in who are impacted by this. And yet we have an unnamed banker working in this country who in 2019 was paid more than €16 million.
There is, and I'm in favour of addressing that anomaly, but not by saying they can all be earning €6 million, but instead saying that no banker in this country should be on more than €500,000. Mm-hmm. I'm in favour of your ordinary bank workers, most of whom are paid ordinary salaries having increased income. I'm in favour of them being allowed to have Christmas bonuses and so on, but I'm against the creeping return, which is going to happen. You start with, okay, people can have €20,000 bonuses, but that is only going in one direction to say, okay, now they can have up to 100% bonus of theirs. And that isn't going to the ordinary workers. That is designed to incentivise those at the very top.
Okay, and Sean, you can probably see how this is politically sensitive, and Paul mentioned the cost of living issues that everybody is facing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's what I'm, my position, I know I'm well aware, is not very popular, but I would, I think it's just so easy to forget this, the state of shareholding in the banks. You know, it's something that's sort of way out of our ordinary mindset. But like, the state owns 1,000 euro worth of bank shares for every man, woman and child in the country. And like, that's just a waste. You know, it just irritates me that there's 5,000 euro or five billion euro sitting there that's not being properly unlocked and used for productive purposes for the states that we could all be benefiting from. So we're in this sort of a limbo where we still own the bank shares, but we would rather not be. And I think that should be our primary focus. It should be getting the banks, getting them ship shape, getting them working the way as efficiently as the rest of the industry is, as efficiently as they can be, so that we can realize that value. And then, so that's the first thing. And then the secondary thing is, like, we all know that, like, you know, Revolut is a better app than Bank of Ireland. We all understand that our banks are kind of a bit fussy and not very well run. Like, these are the types of problems that I am focused, that I think that we should be solving.
Yeah, it's just,
these are problems that the wage cap doesn't help.
For most people listening to this, what you say about unlocking the 5 billion of state money that's in there makes total sense. What is difficult to get your head around is that we need to pay these very rare species over half a million a year plus a bonus in order to unlock the 5 billion.
Well, I know. And like, there's a good example from earlier this week. So the Disney company, they fired their CEO when the markets were closed. And the next morning, when the markets opened, Disney was 16 billion more valuable because they were bringing in a new guy. They were up 10%. It happened with Bank of Ireland too. When Francesca McDonagh was let go after the markets closed, the Bank of Ireland opened the next day and it was, I think, around 600 million less valuable. So that's around 10% too.
She left, didn't she? She made the decision to go.
She left and she went to gosh, she got more money. And I mean, I know it's obscene, the amount of money that these people make. It's out of the range of anything that I would make myself, but I think it's undeniable that when you're in charge of a very big and important organization, that what you do is very consequential and valuable. And that's why it's not, you know, the bankers themselves want the money, but it's the shareholders who want to pay them. It's like, it's coming out of the shareholders' pockets, paying these managers, but they want to pay the going rate because they understand that when you pay someone the going rate and you get the best decisions, that's how you create value in a company.
Okay, well, this only really applies to Bank of Ireland at the moment, doesn't it?
It applies to Bank of Ireland, but I mean, it's as I'm sure Paul would say, it's the thin end of the wedge. Yeah. With regard to AIB and PTSB.
Yeah, it's on the way, but the shareholding has to reach a particular level. Do you think that Bank of Ireland shareholders will want to pay their senior executives more than half a million?
I think they'd rather the choice. Yeah, I do. And I think okay, look, there's one thing the banking lobby asking for more pay, or asking for the restrictions to be lifted. But if you had Philip Lane, you know, and Philip Lane is, you know, pretty well respected person. He's the chief economist of the ECB now, former governor of the Central Bank of Ireland. And as he was leaving the Central Bank of Ireland, he was on the record as saying that, like, yes, like, bank pay is a problem for certain specialized positions. It's not just your Francesca McDonagh. It's, you know, a specialized IT contractor IT worker, mm-hmm. a software developer or a compliance officer. And he said as he was leaving that the pay restrictions are causing trouble for retaining that key talent.
Okay, so Paul Murphy, you just need to get real here. If you want a good person to do the job, to run these organizations properly, benefiting all of the shareholders and all of the customers who use those banks, you've got to pay these big bucks.
But at the moment, we're talking they already can be paid up to 500,000 euros. That is not a small amount of money. It's not an average amount of money. It's absolutely astronomical. It puts people in the top 1% of earners in this country.
But they can leave and go to an international bank based outside of here. Some of them can stay working and living in Ireland and earn far in excess of that.
Sure, but the argument is being made that if we allow them to earn a million or whatever, then we're going to get better banks. They're going to improve our apps, right? Sean's promising us that we're going to get better banking apps if we can pay them a million euros. But I don't see the evidence for that. And the benefit, we have this counterfactual because it actually happened in history, whereby for most of the time we didn't have these any sort of cap on bankers'
pay. But he says
that
culture is gone and regulation has sorted that out and we're not going to go back there.
Well, one sure way to bring the culture back, I'm not sure it is gone, to be honest, but a way to make it more dominant and make it worse is definitely to go back to this, people driven by bonuses, very super high pay. We know where that led and I think it'll lead us to the same place again.
All right, we'll leave that one there. But thank you, Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD, and also Sean Keyes from The Currency, back after this break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.